Well, my topic today is self-reliance, and Siobhan and Michael just sang a song about believing in the ability to fly and trusting that if you step off, you'll soar, and how sometimes it doesn't happen, but oftentimes we find that current that lifts us, and it takes us to a whole new place that we've never been before. And I just love giving talks because when I have a subject on the table that I'm contemplating, everywhere I go and everything I do supports that intention to explore this subject, to learn about it, to be inspired myself so that I have something to share that I hope might inspire somebody else. And so the fact that Siobhan and Michael chose that particular song to bring today was prophetic, because I have several quotes that directly relate to the subject of that song. And I think I'll start with yesterday's Abraham Hicks workshop, because what Abraham's talking about right now is raising your frequency so that you connect with a high-flying disc. And they continually circle their hand above their head and say, this is where the energy of source is. This is the frequency of joy and contentment and peace and love. This is appreciation and wonder. And then they do a lower circle and they say, this is the frequency of anger or fear or frustration or resentment. And whichever disc you're on manifests in your life. So one of the things they said very dryly there is, we think it would be a really good idea to focus on what disc you're on, you know, to choose your disc on purpose. And then somebody talked about the fact that they were looking at Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, and seeing her as the pinnacle of perfection. And Abraham said dryly, you should have seen her in the garage yesterday when she lifted the back end of her Cadillac Escalade and then pushed the button to put up the garage door, and they encountered one another and ripped the windshield wiper right off the back of her car so that it was hanging by a cord. And she said she had to duct tape it together so she could go get the people she was going to pick up at the airport. And she said, now everyone can see my duct tape. And she's covered with duct tape. Her car is covered with duct tape. And that we all have some duct tape in our lives. We all have the places that aren't quite working as we would like them to work. And in that moment, she started to laugh because it was a perfect match to the feeling of not enough time and frustration and overwhelmment that she was thinking about as she was trying to pack a chair into her car and go get people at the airport and be ready for other things she was doing that day. And so she created something else that took time that made her later. And that was a perfect vibrational match. And whatever disc we're spinning on, whatever disc we're flying on, whether it's the high-flying disc or the low-flying disc, we are going to reap the results of that disc. Now, the interesting part of it is that we have a disc for every subject. So you might have a really high-flying disc about friends, but today you have a low-flying disc about work. Or you might have a high-flying disc about your home, but today you have a low-flying disc about your health. So it isn't true that we're homogenous. We don't live at the same place on every subject all the time. Some subjects we're really high and happy on. Other subjects can take us down every time we think about them. So we get to be more at choice. And what Ernest Holmes said about that in the Science of Mind textbook is, unless there is something from which to choose, sorry, whew, okay, I should have used duct tape. The scotch tape didn't hold. I'll bring duct tape next time. Unless there is something from which to choose, the ability to choose would be a mere fantasy. Therefore, there must be not only the possibility of choice, but the liability of experiencing that which is chosen. And sometimes it's the reward of experiencing what is chosen. It's not always a liability. Often when we choose that high-flying disc, what we get is something that just blows our minds with joy. But the experience of receiving back what you put out is ever present, because that's how the law of attraction works. Whatever we're giving out is going to return to us. And that just keeps happening. And what they said to that young man yesterday in San Diego, what Abraham said to him when he said, Esther is on the high-flying disc all the time, and they said, you should have been in the garage yesterday. They followed that with, well, we think it's nice that you're finding someone as a model of something that you want, but don't depend on anyone else's disc flying for your own. We have to fly on our own discs, and we have to choose to fly on purpose, because we don't raise our vibration automatically, because the momentum of life is what you're already doing. You're going to get more of what you're already doing unless you change it. Now, if you adore every aspect of your life and what you're doing, you don't need to change it. It's going to keep getting better. But many of us have a place where we get that hitch and we don't feel that high-flying place. We feel that resentment, that fear, that anger. And that's where we need to pay attention and make a conscious choice. I want to look for something about this subject that feels better. I want to trust that there is an answer. And what I believe, what I've been taught, and what I own for myself is that the answer already exists. There is never a problem that doesn't have a solution. There is never a question that doesn't have an answer. But the solution and the answer are on this high-flying disc. The question, the problem, is often a low-flying disc. And so we have to raise our vibration in order to access the genius of who we are. Now, what is the genius of who we are? The genius of who we are is our connection to Source. There is no time we are not being loved and supported and supplied by Spirit, that we live in the heart of God. It's already done. We live there. The answers are there. The essence of life is ever ready to spring forth in our recognition of it, but it's our choice. We have to open the door for the good to flood in, because the door opens from the inside out. And good happens from the inside out, not from the outside in. So when Ernest talks about don't be a leaner, never lean on other people, I love that the sign just fell down and made everybody laugh. I don't even have to do it. The sign's doing it for me. It's great. Ernest said, when we depend on other people, we are simply taking their light and trying to light our path with it. And their light isn't necessarily where our path is. You know, it's like the old story about the guy who was dropped his keys, and he was out at night looking for his keys, and he was under the street light, and he wasn't finding his keys, and somebody said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for my keys. And they looked around and said, well, they're not here. And he said, yeah, but I can't see over there in the dark where I dropped them. You know, if you're not shining your own light, then where you dropped them isn't going to light up. But if you shine your own light, you can take it into any place and match that light with the experience that you have. So as you radiate the light that you are, everything that is light comes back to you, to your experience. And that is your genius. Whatever that looks like for you, And as I said, I had all of these wonderful experiences. Yesterday, I walked into the dollar store, and the first thing I saw when I got in there was this sign that says, "In a world that you can be anything, be yourself." So I thought, well, that was a nice synchronicity. That was a reminder of what I'm talking about today. And there's a channel named John Calley who channels what he calls spirit. And this is what his reading was about this week. He said, John, speaking as himself first, said, "Lately I've been paying attention to how I interact with other people. Sometimes I catch myself on almost unconsciously mirroring their words or feelings. For example, I may have allowed their vibration of anger to set up a similar vibration in me, even when a moment before I may have been feeling peaceful and calm. In effect, I've been letting others determine my thoughts, actions, and feelings. I've allowed them to set my standards for me." And then when Spirit said, "When you were little children, many of you were so spontaneous and free. You immersed yourselves in the joys of life. But after hearing your elders say no to your joyous outbursts, you became little robots, little adults. You stuffed your free and joyous spontaneity and instead submitted yourself to cold, rigid, and joyless standards of conduct. Many of you are still allowing others to set your standards, to dictate what you will and will not do, think, believe, and feel. It's time for you to reclaim your birthright, the birthright of joy you knew as a child. It's time for your declaration of independence." And on the week of 4th of July and feeling and thinking about liberation and freedom, this idea of being free to set your own vibration, no matter what anybody else is doing, was very appealing to me. I wanted to feel myself, to feel my spirit, to feel my connection, to feel the love that I am, to feel the joy that I am, to connect with the intelligence and the creativity and the wonder and the curiosity and the childlike spontaneity of who I truly am. And that is a choice we can make in any moment, no matter what's happening. Now, in the moment when we're feeling this downward, low-flying disc, it's hard to make the choice for joy. But it is possible to make the choice for neutrality. And when it looks like something's going wrong, everybody here probably has heard me say before, what I always say to myself is, even though it looks like something's going wrong, I trust that it's actually something in the process of going right from a broader perspective, which reminds me to look up, to look higher, to create a vision of life that is more inclusive, that is more loving. And I was talking to somebody the other day who was having an argument with someone who was on their team. And I said, "You're making this be us versus them, or me versus them. And instead, you could draw the circle wider and say, there's two of us here, and we have the same objective. We want to accomplish this project. And if we work together, we'll find a way to do it. And I know there's a solution. And I trust that it's going to come to me as I relax and back off from this feeling of conflict." And it's amazing. I mean, the person reported back to me that they had a great conversation with the person the next day. And that everything smoothed out and flowed easily. And the project got done faster than anybody thought it could. So there is a solution already in place. It's not a matter of creating something that's not. It's a matter of becoming a match to something that already is. And the match is the high-flying disc. It's the feeling of connection. It's the feeling of appreciation or love or wonder or joy. Lao Tzu said, "At the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are. And you know what you want. At the center of your being, you have the answer. My friend posted that to Facebook the other day. He had another one of the examples of people talking about things that related directly to what I wanted to talk about. And so you know who you are and you know what you want. And many of you have heard me talk many, many times about David Hawkins' map of human consciousness from the book Power Versus Force, where he describes that from 0 to 1,000, there is a scale, and 10 is shame, and 20 is grief, and 60 is fear, and 75 is anger, and you keep going up until you get to 200, which is courage. And courage is the place where the negative perception shifts to neutrality. And at courage, you begin to develop non-judgment, and you stop seeing this other person's behavior as bad or wrong, and you start saying, there must be a reason that this person is behaving that way, and I can find a way to appreciate who they are. And then it moves up into, from understanding into love, and unconditional love and joy, and ultimately into oneness. At 1,000, it's knowing that the self and everything is one. The essence of the consciousness of Jesus and Buddha. And when I was preparing for this talk and I was thinking about this idea of who am I? Who am I? I realized that how I see myself in any moment is through the filter of the consciousness that I'm currently living. And I went back and I looked at the chart that he created about what people think when they see a man in tattered clothes on a street corner. Someone might say, oh, that person is dirty and disgraceful. Someone else might say, that's a person who needs assistance. Someone else might say, that's a person who is free and is living the exact kind of life they want to live. And each person would be seeing that person through the filter of their own perception. And if they encounter that person, they will probably encounter the expectation they have of that person. Someone might look at that person and think they're dangerous. And if they, with that fear, encountered that person, they might have an experience of danger with that person. Whereas someone else might see that person as lovable and encounter them as a sweet spirit that brought something wonderful into their lives, a teacher or a friend. So every time we look at something, we look at it through the filter of where we are in consciousness in that moment. And as we raise our vibration to a high-flying disc, we are moving up in consciousness. We are finding a way to see more as source sees from a position of oneness and love and appreciation. And that's always of value. And when we look at ourselves, the same thing is true. I went back and I was looking for something else, but I came across a talk I gave about 10 years ago. And in it, I was talking, the title of the talk was Who Are You? And I thought, well, that's a little related to what I'm talking about today. And in it, I saw that I'd created a chart like this about ways to look at my life from all those levels of consciousness. And at one level, I was an unemployed librarian who hadn't had a real job in 4 years. Now it's 18. I haven't had a real job in 18 years. And that's certainly one way people from one perspective could be looking at my life. You know, she's got an education. She's not using it. People can look at our lives from all those different levels of consciousness and see something entirely different. There are people who see me as a teacher. There are people who see me as a mystic. There is a lifeguard who sees me as a source of cake at my pool this summer. And he's from Kosovo and really missing his family, and it's a real joy for me to be a source of cake. and rides to places he needs to go this summer. People will see us through a filter, but we are the only ones who create the filter through which we see ourselves. Nobody else can determine how you see you. And sometimes I realize that when I'm self-critical, I have no barrier for that. You know, if somebody else criticizes me, I can say, well, that's their stuff. Or I could look at what they were criticizing and say, well, I can see the truth of this part of it, and I could do that differently. But I really feel good about myself in this way. But when I criticize myself, there's nobody reasoning in between. I'm just taking a stab into my own heart. And so finding a way to think about yourself from the position of truth, from the position of the essence of your being as spirit, as love, as harmony, as peace, that can be such a calming experience in your life. It can be the greatest influence for change that there is, because then you know the truth of who you are, and you begin to live from that truth. You begin to ask the question from your center, expecting to hear the answer that already exists there. You begin to live as the true self that you are, the ultimate self that you are. And we're infinite beings. There is no ceiling on how expansive we can become. There is no limit to the genius we can experience within ourselves. That, what Ernest said about it is, when we depend on ourselves, we are depending on the inner voice that is God, speaking in and through man, in and through us. Man is the inlet and outlet to all there is in God. We have the opportunity to share the love that is God with each other. We have the ability to share the intelligence of the divine on the planet. We have the ability to hear the answer and the solution and bring it to fruition in our lives. And when we're listening to the guidance at that level, we feel inspired to act. And the actions that we take are effective and powerful and efficient and usually fun. And the fun factor is awesome. I love that we can enjoy our lives, that we can play and be free and be loving. I just want to end with this idea of finding your own genius, because yesterday I had an experience of having my own genius reflected back to me, and that's always a startling and wonderful thing to have happen. But I was watching the Abraham workshop, and this woman got up at the very end of the workshop to talk to Abraham, and she began to talk about the fact that light is both a wave and a particle, and that we are perceivable as mass and wave, as mass and energy. And as she talked to Abraham, I was reminded that many, many years ago, I explored the idea of quantum consciousness. And to me, it became conscious quantumness, because I can choose to see the world from an energy perspective as a wave rather than a particle. I can see the things around me as vibrational rather than simply physical. And I can focus my attention on the opportunity to move the energy rather than trying to move all the stuff around. And it's a really different experience when you connect with everything from the energetic level rather than the physical level. And I was inspired by what she said. And Abraham said, we just told them all that they're all vibrational. Don't make us tell them they're all a wave. And I said, wow, you know, so many years ago, I was experiencing that truth myself. I came to that myself. It came through within me. It's my license plate. You are light. And it means taking that literally. I am the light right here and now. And so as I went back and I looked at the things I wrote at that time about conscious quantumness, I came across these brochures. Some of you have been with the study group for 10 years. Remember that I used to do a brochure every month. For years, I did a brochure every month. And I spoke every month in those days. And this one's on conscious quantumness. And on it is a poem that I wrote in 1994. And that's... I was an employed librarian in those days. It was before my quantum leap into the void that has sustained me for the last 18 years as a practitioner. But what I wrote at that time was, I believe I am a quantum being of limitless potential, unbounded by time and space. If you look for me, you will always find me. But when you're not looking, I may be somewhere else entirely. For I am a pigment of your perception, as you are of mine. And together we form the brilliant and harmonious rainbow of God's love. So I appreciated the point back at my own genius yesterday, because I'd forgotten that poem. But that poem served me well because I wrote it 2 months before my husband died. And I read it at his funeral. And it was a powerful being because it made me realize that he was a quantum being of limitless potential still. And that when I looked for him, I would find him. And I always have. So we have the opportunity to define ourselves however we want to. We can define ourselves as limited and poor and sick and pathetic. And the universe will reflect that back to us quite kindly, saying, oh, that's what you want? That's where you're focused? Here's more. Here's more. You didn't like that? Good. Here's more. Or we can define ourselves as limitless and open the doors of our potential to see the world and encounter the world from the position of genius and intelligence and power. I know my choice today. And I want to remind myself of that choice often, because as I feel a choice, I make a different choice. And I hope you do too. Thanks.